All right, I'd like to turn on my mic, and we'll call to order the April 19th, 2023 Ventura Port District Board of Port Commissioners. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Brennan, would you lead us in the pledge?
Hand over your heart. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Brian. Let's go for the roll call.
Commissioner Brennan?
Present.
Commissioner Rainey?
Present.
Commissioner Stevens?
Here.
Chair Blumenberg?
Here.
And Vice Chair Gardena is absent today.
Okay, next thing on our agenda is adoption of the agenda. Commissioners?
No public comment. I will move the agenda as presented.
A second.
We'll take a voice vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted as presented. All right. Next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes. Do we have any comments on the minutes? Nothing online, nobody in house.
So
commissioners?
Moved.
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. All right, we'll move on to public communications. Do we have any public communications in the room?
I do not have any public speakers.
And nobody online?
All right. So this is on items not on the agenda, correct?
Thank you. Thank you for that clarification, Brian. All right. Still seeing no public communications. We'll close public communications. Move on to the closed session report.
Thank you, Mr. Council. Chair. Closed session was held as set forth on the closed session agenda. The board heard a report on each of the items presented, gave some direction to staff. No action was taken because reportable under the Brown Act.
Thank you. All right, board commissions, opportunity for the commissioners to give brief reports on issues related to the board. Do we have any comments?
I would just start out by saying that I received it in the mail, but a beautiful postcard, but then also one walked by, but Portside's Harbor Mart has opened and looks like a fair bit of activity and a lot of excitement, and I know the hours is fairly limited now, but if folks, as summer goes on, as more people wander down there, it's going to be wonderful. So it's going to activate that site, I think, for the public as much as it is for the residents, which is something to look forward to. So always good to see that.
And when we finally get a sign up there, it'll attract even more business.
Chair, if I might, I'm just looking at my notes here. My notes are better than my memory. But May 11th, 9:30, Beacon will host the 4th Annual Sand Summit. Todd, thank you, and Ventura Harbor, and for being part of that. And basically, it's the four harbors are reporting out on the dredging activities in the mountain sand and sediment that they're actually putting back into the system. And it's very, a lot of people are paying attention to where the sand is and or where the sand isn't and where it needs to be. And I think this is something that's only getting even more important as we go forward. Santa Barbara Harbor will be presenting this time on. Santa Barbara, as you know, is still part of the littoral south. And whatever happens in Santa Barbara affects us on the beaches and around the harbors here. So it's 9:30 to 11:30 with both Congresswoman Brownlee participating along with Congressman Carbajal. For short periods of time for those two, obviously, but with their staff will be on and taking notes because we're always, every year, there's a dredging cycle and we need to be on top of it. So, thank you.
Will that be an in-person meeting in Santa Barbara?
Actually, it's going to be, it'll be virtual.
Virtual?
Virtual. And I'll get the information out to you as soon as the Zoom comes by. Todd will get it, maybe Todd, you can share that with the board when you get the invitation to the Zoom.
I've only got a placeholder so far.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I'll just say, as far as Board Commissioner Communications that this weekend had the opportunity to take a walk on the harbor, which is a favorite thing to do for many of us. And a big volleyball tournament with local firefighter agencies down on the beach looked like a perfect thing for us to host, right? Firefighters from all over, looked like central to southern California, hotshots and local municipalities, and they were having a great time. Music was cranking. Guys were playing some tough volleyball. Looked like Top Gun out there. All right, we will close board communications. Move on to staff and general manager reports.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Of course, we have the second meeting of the month, the departmental reports. So all of those are in your packet, from everything from capital improvements to facilities and leasing, marketing, and harbor patrol, and so on. So and marina, not to be left out as well. So a lot of great work, a lot of good photos in there with work being done in the village and, of course, throughout the harbor, and a lot of the life-saving efforts of the Harbor Patrol as well. So with that, I have a couple of quick updates on some of the marketing activities. Earth Day is this Saturday. Ventura Harbor Village is presenting a cleanup in village and beaches on actually the day before, on Friday afternoon, starting at 3 p.m., partnering with Coastal Cone for a special treat for the first 100 that helped keep the area clean. The marketing department will be handing out village stickers for reusable water bottles as part of a promotion for the new water filling station in the village, and hosting a enter to win a free reusable water bottle at the new water bottle filling station all weekend long. On social, a reel was produced working with local videographer in the harbor for Earth Day, showcasing scenic shots of beautiful outdoor harbor shots. And the marketing team will be refilming the walkable harbor video segment on Saturday that is featured on the VenturaHarbor.com website, that's promoting the harbor's walking opportunities and taking overhead images and video to promote the harbor's replenished beaches, which we've been talking a lot about over the last couple of meetings and a couple of months. So those are our updates. We've got staff here. If you have any questions from any of the reports that you saw.
Do we have any public comments on the general manager's report?
No public speakers.
And not seeing anyone here. Commissioners, comments on the report? I always love the general manager reports because it's always good news, right? Almost always good news.
Well, mostly.
I mean, I'll just pull out a couple, right? Joe, the stone veneer over at 1567, it's looking great. And I think I just mixed up brothers,
didn't I? That's okay. It's Sergio.
Sergio
will take credit for it.
Sorry. Don't know if I promoted you or insulted you. Sorry. Anyway, the stone veneer looks great. Let's see. What else did I have? I got flustered by that screw-up. The sand removal, good project. It was, the pictures in the report were amazing to show how much sand had built up. And then removing those and getting down to the beaches, we were talking about the importance of replenishing those beaches. And so well done there.
And that is Sergio's.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Got one right.
And he did a great job, and team.
Yes, yeah. Marketing, the airtime, the little interviews that we got, nice job coordinating that. Good to see some press coverage for the harbor. And then finally for Harbor Patrol, I don't see a Harbor Patrol guy, but I suspect John's listening. Tough news in the report about the emergencies that we had to respond to. It's a tough job that these guys do, guys and gals. But I, on a more positive note, I wanted to applaud the coastal boating course that John is bringing to the table. I think that's great to bring that education. And, not only do we have fun, but we make sure people do it safe. So all good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to move on, and actually I'm going to adjourn our open session, and then we're going to convene as the Board of Directors for the Ventura Port District Public Facilities Corporation. So, do I get to...
That's my cue, right?
Do I get to strike the gavel and adjourn us?
Yes.
Okay, and adjourn. I'm going to pass it to the President.
All right, we'll call for a meeting of the Public Facilities Corporation meeting.
We have one of these annual meetings, for those of you that have the good fortune of not sitting through one of these before. And so we'll start with the roll call.
Director Brennan.
Present.
Director Raymond.
Present.
Vice President Blumenberg.
Present.
President Stevens.
I like the sound of that.
And Director Gardina is absent.
Okay, our next item is public comment. Is there anyone wishing to comment on items not on our agenda?
There are no public speakers.
Okay. All right. We'll get down to our one action item, which is an exciting one this time. We've talked about this in previous years, but looks like we might actually pull the trigger this time. So, Brian, I guess this will be to you.
Yeah, I'm going to ask if Andy and Jessica would give a brief report. And I'll let them do the coin flip.
Well, we've been hanging on to the Public Facilities Corporation because it was used many years ago as a vehicle for an issuance of certificates of participation, or commonly referred to as bonds. But there are now our financial consultants. The last time we did a refi, we didn't use the Public Facilities Corporation. And they advise that there are other vehicles that can be used now in this kind of an outdated procedure, and we have to file every year certain things with the state with respect to the corporation. So it made sense to us that we dissolve the corporation because there's no use for it anymore.
Nice short presentation. Thank you very much. Any questions, Brian?
Well, I would just say, I hate to see someone who's saying about 40, 50-year-old organization go by the wayside, but government it takes a lot to get things started and a lot to get and to unravel them. And then there's always that feeling, gosh, we should just hold on to it and we might need it. I mean, I know there's a couple things important, like Beacon, which started in 1987, and everyone wondered even why it was even there then, and it's more than relevant at this time now. But in this case, we're going backwards. This is something that was relevant and allowed us to do something now. But you're right, there is a lot more vehicles and tools to be able to utilize that sort of do the same thing. And I think it's good government to eliminate government when you can and where you can. And so I'll leave that. I'll make the motion of the adoption.
A second.
All right, so we have a motion and a second for the recommended action to adopt resolution number 130. I will ask for roll call.
Public comment.
Any public comment on this item?
No public speakers. Roll call. Director Brennan?
Yes.
Director Rainey?
Aye.
Vice President Blumenberg?
Yes.
President Stevens?
Regrettably, my reign has come to an end.
Yes. Vote carries 4-0.
Can I even adjourn the meeting? Do I have that authority?
Yes. Yes.
Adjourn.
All right. We're good.
And we shall reconvene the regular meeting of the Port District. We're going to move on to our consent agenda. The consent agenda is items that are non-controversial and acted upon at one time, typically without discussion, unless one of the board members wants to pull an item. We have six items on the consent agenda. Item A is four out-of-town travel requests. B is the acceptance of a re-roofing project. C is a new lifeguard contract that would go into effect next month. D, termination of an office lease. E, a new lease agreement for the gallery. And F is a new retail lease agreement with Silhouettes. So, do we have any public comment on the consent agenda?
There are no public speakers.
Okay. No public speakers online, seeing no one here. Give it over to the commissioners.
Chair, I have some more to comment on one item, and certainly, well, it's all good, but I do want to commend Harbor Master Higgins on the item C, the approval of the lifeguard service contract that's being presented in front of us. That beach is, it's a wonderful beach, but it's also one of the most dangerous. It's one of the few in Ventura that actually gets the south swell, which are very prevalent during the summer, and the riptides and currents are amazing there. So, and for people to come and want to enjoy the the village and the harbor and the whole experience, we want to make sure we have a safe environment. And I do think that, you know, looking at the contract, it has not gone up that much. I think it was $3,000. And previously it had gone up like $20,000, $25,000 a year. So I appreciate his negotiating skills. You know, I guess when you carry a gun into a negotiation, things seem to go a lot better. I mean, as a harbor master, excuse me, wrong connotation, but I just wanted to say that I think that's something we were concerned about before, looking at maybe even privatizing the service. And I'm glad, and I think that helped. The lifeguard started realizing state parks are right here. They had a lot of the same services, and they could provide it without a lot of extra overhead. So I think I just wanted to leave it there. And with that being said, I know no public comment. I'll move the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Oh, we have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. All this not a roll call.
We have one resolution on the consent, so I will need roll call.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. All right, so we'll do a roll call vote.
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Chair Blumenberg?
Yes.
Vote carries 4-0.
All right, we'll move on to our standard agenda. Item number one is acceptance of fiscal year 2021-2022 audit. Ryan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to ask our accounting manager, Gloria Atkins, to come up to the podium. She has been working diligently on the audit for several months. There's been new requirements added and additional work to be done this year versus prior years, but we appreciate her efforts. And joining her tonight remotely is the independent auditor that provided the audit. So I'm going to let her kind of give an intro and then introduce the independent auditor from there.
Good evening, commissioners. This audit was extra special. We did have to finish the special lease accounting that we've been talking about for a few years now, to have to get that in place. It's all set. So Clifton Larson completed the audit on April 12th. For the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2022, I'm happy to report that the finding that the district's financial statements fairly present the financial position of the district as of June 30th, 2022, in all material respects. And the Tim Mattel of CLA is available here. He's going to be talking to us tonight through the video conference. Nathan, can you?
Thank you. This is Nitin Patel, principal with Tipton Larson Allen, and I'm going to give a short presentation of the results of our audit. In connection with our audit, we've issued our independent opinion on the financial statements of the Ventura Port District for the year ended June 30th, 2022. What I wanted to point out is the opinion is different this year as there were new audit standards that were adopted. So what you'll notice is it's on page one of your financial statements. We start out by discussing what the opinion is. And in our opinion, the financial statements present fairly, in all material respects, the financial position and changes in financial position of the district as of and for the year ended June 30th, 2022, in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. In the second paragraph, we discuss the basis for our audit opinion. Those are that we conducted the audit in accordance with generally accepted audit standards and government audit standards. In that paragraph, we also discussed that we have to be independent, and this is a new requirement that we have to disclose to you. In the third paragraph, we discuss an emphasis of matter, change in accounting principle related to GASB Statement 87. Now, this did significantly impact your organization because most of your operations really is in terms of leasing property and getting rental income. So what that effectively required is that any lease that was more than 12 months, now you have to put it on the balance sheet, and it's accounted for in a different way. In the next paragraph, we discuss the responsibilities of the management, which includes preparation of financial statements, and also they have to make an evaluation if the entity can continue as a going concern. And that is also a new disclosure in the opinion. After that, we discussed what the auditor's responsibilities are, which are to give you reasonable assurance that the financial statements are fairly presented. In there, we also discussed that we have to exercise professional judgment and maintain professional skepticism throughout the audit, We have to identify risk of material misstatements. We also have to understand the internal control and our plan, our procedures in reviewing those internal controls. We have to evaluate the appropriateness of the accounting policies. And then we have to conclude if there are any conditions or events that could raise substantial doubt about the district's ability to continue as a going concern. And finally, we're required to communicate certain items to you at the conclusion of the audit. On the third page of the opinion, we discuss required supplementary information. Your financial statement has what's called a management discussion analysis, which is, in summary, gives you a highlight of the activity in the fiscal year. It also has data for both the pension and other post-employment benefit obligation. We reviewed that information for consistency, but we are not giving an opinion as the standards basically say that we don't have to do that because the pension and OPEB information is presented for multi-years. I believe for pension it's now 8 years, and for OPEB, other post-employment benefits, is 5, and that will go up to a maximum of 10 years. And finally, there's a report we also issue on internal control over financial reporting, and we did not report any items of material weaknesses to you. The final communication I wanted to have is there are certain communications that I have to make to the board. The accounting policies are described in Note 1 to your financial statements. Accounting estimates in your financial statements include the contributions, pension expense, deferred inflows and outflows of the pension liability. Also, the deferred inflows, outflows, and corresponding liability for the other post-employment benefit. We evaluated the key factors in determining those estimates, and we found it to be reasonable. There were no incorrect in the statements that we are reporting to you. Also, we did not have any corrected journal entries to report to you. We did not have any disagreements with management. And finally, we did request management to give us representations dated April 12, 2023, that provided us with all the information related to the audit. That concludes my comments, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Commissioners, do we have any questions?
Actually, I have one. And thank you for the presentation and for the audit. Things are looking good. So it's always kind of gratifying to see these things. I had one question on page 97. You have talk about benefits decreasing about 663,000 plus as a result of GASB and the accrued pensions and the other post-employment benefits. Can you explain that a little bit, is what that is?
Could you tell me what page that was on?
Page 97, second
That's
bullet.
Page 14 of your report. He may not have
page 14 of yours. Sorry about that.
Okay. I believe management did that. But if I can answer that, the pension and OPEB expense is effectively an estimate each year. So that can fluctuate from year to year. I think you're referring to
the second bullet there.
Yeah, the second bullet point. So that can fluctuate from year to year. I believe this year, in fiscal year 22, your pension liability actually went down quite a bit because of the earnings in the market. I believe next year the pension expense will be even higher because what you're doing is effectively taking estimates and amortizing them over a certain number of years. It's kind of a geeky technical way of explaining it. Not sure what else. I don't know, Gloria, if you've got anything else to add to that.
No, I was hoping you could explain it.
So is this related to your averaging over years?
Yeah.
And that's your estimate, and then each year comes in different, and then the kind of the average that you were applying, is that in essence?
Right.
Okay.
So if I can explain it, what happened is because, and you know, you have to remember that this is back for June 30th, 2022, mm-hmm. And the measurement date actually is June 30th, 2021. So in that year, when we were still under COVID, the stock market was doing pretty good. So what happened is there was a lot of earnings, and so the earnings were so large that even though you amortized them, it kind of artificially, I would say, decreased the expense because you have to take that and amortize that over 5 years. I think what you will see in the 22 year is because, you know, there were large losses, in the 23 audit, the measurement will be as of June 30, 2022. And I think what you will see is a reversal the other way, because now you're probably most likely going to have a not pension, not deferred income, but you might have actually a deferred loss. So you are right, it's kind of averaging the numbers out. But the reason for the decrease was because of the huge income earned for the pension items for June 30th, 2021. You have to remember, even though we're doing a 2022 audit, the measurement period is as of June 30th, 2021.
So I think you answered my question. So our amortization period is 5 years?
Yeah. For amortization for interest, for the deferred inflows, the other items related to if you have change in benefit terms, mm-hmm. it's over the average service life of the people, the employees in the plan. And that typically is less than 5 years. It can range from 2.5 to 4 years on how it's amortized, but it varies by entity.
All right. Thank you.
A question on the same page.
Turn on your microphone.
I'm sorry. Same page, page 97. RUAL, or unfunded annual liability. Doesn't CalPERS give us that?
They say at the beginning of the year, this is what your unfunded liability that you have to pay up front is. And then, so you pay that number up front, and it's, I don't know if I can remember it, it's based on, again, an outstanding balance. If you owe this much possibly still, and they just don't know what it's going to, could make or could not make, and they charge you up front on it.
Yes.
And then throughout the year, we're charged for each individual employee.
This is one of those big challenges that the public sector has in a lot of places, is the unfunded annual liability. But it looks like we're doing all right in terms of managing that. Do we expect that to increase?
We do.
Maybe just to follow up to that, Commissioner, we do one of the services that we've provided during our budget cycle is having an independent pension expert do an updated actuarial for the Port District. So I'm not sure if you've had the benefit of that presentation yet based on how long you've been here, but she'll be coming in the May-June time period. We'll schedule her for a presentation, and she'll dive into some of the pension obligations.
Okay.
Here's how weird I am. I love that presentation. it's not a question. I just think it's worth pointing out, and this would be on our agenda page 95, towards the top. It highlights the intergovernmental grant increase of almost $1 million. And I just think it's real important to point that out, and the great work the staff's done bringing in grant dollars at a level far in excess of anything that we've done since I've been on the commission. And that's a huge help, and thank you for that. And glad to see it there in black and white.
Yeah.
I do commend Todd for that. He works diligently on those grants. Stuff. I'd like to thank Commissioner Raby for helping us through this audit process. This was kind of a different one for us, but we did get through it. I believe the auditors had a chance to speak to you.
Yes. And I just wanted to commend staff for being able to go through there's a new Governmental Accounting Standards Board, GASB, Statement 87 on leases, that they were able to do it as quickly as they were. I mean, I was really impressed.
CLA consultants help us a lot.
Yeah.
You guys approved that in October, and that helped them immensely.
Hats off to you on being able to do that.
Thank you.
Wasn't that the software that we upgraded to allow us to respond?
It's the software that we use off the cloud that keeps track of that for us, and we put in all changes and whatever, mm-hmm. and we push a button, hopefully, and the new music comes out.
Very good.
What makes us special is just how much volume of leases we have. You may have another public agency that, you know, that's not their core function, and maybe they have a couple of leases. In our case, it's almost the entirety of the portfolio of what we do. So the amount of work obviously is reflected in what their folks are talking about.
Good job.
And let me just echo Commissioner Rainey, thank you for taking on the role of the audit liaison. Nitin, I appreciate your efforts and your firm's efforts to come in and give us that independent audit. Hugely important for a public agency, and appreciate the results. And Gloria, thank you as always for keeping the good books. Before we move on with this, do we have any public comments on it?
There are no public speakers.
No public speakers online or in the House. The agenda item is to accept the auditor's report, commissioners.
I'll move the item as presented.
A second.
So we've got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Hearing none, we will accept the auditor's report. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lorraine.
All
right, so we will move on to our second standard agenda item, which is adoption of a resolution 3470 affecting Parcel 20 Master Lease. Brian, I'll turn it over to you.
I just need to make an advisement real quick. My people on the other side are having a hard time hearing everybody. So if you can pull your microphones up closer to you and speak directly into them, I would be very grateful. Thank you.
Okay, let's go ahead and move on. I've got a few slides here tonight that I wanted to walk through related to this item. Kind of outline the topic. But first I wanted to thank Tom Director is here this evening, Leonora Valvo is here. I want to thank their counsel, Jacqueline Ruffin, and of course Andy Turner from District Counsel, working closely together over this past many months to put together an update to these agreements that I'm going to outline here for you this evening. You're going to see that this is the first of a two-step process. In which tonight you're not approving the changes, but you are being asked to authorize publication because of the lease term. So I'll touch on that probably, I think, in my last slide, but wanted to sort of set the stage for what's happening tonight versus what would be recommended for the May 3rd meeting. So with that, I will jump in. A lot of this really stems from the city's Water Pure project. You've heard a couple of presentations, I think three now, from the city over the last 10 to 12 months. City of Ventura intends to break ground on their Ventura Water Pure project by fall of this year. In many ways, that puts things in motion by summer of this year with respect to dry boat storage and other things. You're going to see VWP there. That's Ventura Water Pure in the rest of my slides to cut down on at least a few words. So the Water Pure project needs both temporary construction and permanent easements on Parcel 20. The project impacts other parcels as well, but tonight's focus is specific to Parcel 20. The master tenant of Parcel 20 is Director Marine Holdings, or I think I use DMH throughout moving forward. They assumed an existing lease back in 2020 that will expire in 2029. As part of that process, the district, you as the board, also authorized a five-year option agreement for what would be a new 50-year lease, 30 years and a 20-year option. That option agreement expires, I believe, in the fall of 2025. Due to the Ventura Water Pure easement needs, DMH director has requested that the district consider an amendment to the five-year option. this largely stems from the fact that the construction of Ventura Water Pure will be on and around the premises. It will cause temporary closures of various areas within the premises and certain adjacent streets during construction. I think we've all seen that in the presentations. And it will place building development restrictions due to the permanent easements through the premises in favor of the city and other potentially unknown impacts. Next slide, please. So with that, the proposed amendments will modify and or eliminate certain milestones that were contained within the five-year option for a director to be able to exercise that option, as the term is in real estate. These were, generally speaking and broadly speaking, the five major terms that were initially negotiated pre-Water Pure as it related to the project, not unlike some other projects that have come through the district. Completion of what's called the California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA as it's known, environmental review process for the proposed development project. Port District is lead agency with respect to that, and that is going to be coming back to the board very soon. In fact, I think as of tonight, there is a publication available for the availability of that CEQA document that'll last 30 days, so that's beginning today. Approval of the proposed development project, so that's another step that the Port District Board takes with respect to any major project in the harbor, and that follows the CEQA process. It can be done the same night, and that is our goal for this project. Completion of entitlements for the proposed project. So entitlements is basically a fancy word for approvals. But projects on the coast require multiple layers of approval. So you don't just have the Port District as the owner of the harbor. You have the city, you have Coastal Commission, and other governmental agencies who play a role in reviewing projects such as the type that the directors are planning for. One of the other conditions is a project that is typically ready to go is once it's completed its entitlements, it goes through a building plan check process. That would be through the city of Ventura, and that was an initial requirement as well. And then, obviously, projects don't happen without financing, and the last condition that you see there that was identified was financing to complete the project. So, again, not too dissimilar to other projects, pretty straightforward in terms of those conditions. From the negotiation due to Water Pure, you'll see some modifications to that that are recommended in the amendments that are attached to the board report tonight. So kind of walking through those same five that we just looked at, but looking at how they are modified, with condition one, that would be retained with respect to the CEQA requirement. Condition two would be retained with regard to district approvals. Again, these are coming very quickly in the next month to two. Condition three would be modified so that the project would not have to have completed the entitlements that I just mentioned, but they would submit their full application to city and get a an approval from the city, not in terms of the project, but that their application is complete in terms of their submission. Condition four, with respect to building plan check, would be eliminated by the very nature of number three being modified to accept a full package to the city as progress that's meaningful to the project's development moving forward. And then condition five would be modified as it relates to financing. So I talked about project being ready to finance. Well, a project that's not at that stage yet, you don't have a final price tag on because it hasn't gone through the entitlement process. But to have some sense of financial capability, the revision is that there be adequate evidence of adequate financing likely to be available for the construction of the improvements. And that director has financial ability to carry out and complete the improvements. And next up, please, or next slide, rather. And approval requirements. So this is a little bit what I touched on at the beginning. Current lease, both the current lease, even though It expires in 2029. It was based off of an original lease longer than 10 years. And the option itself relates to a new 50-year lease, 30 plus 20, as we talked about. So in both cases, we have leases that we're recommending to amend that trigger the next requirement that's identified here, which is the California Harbors and Navigations Code, Section 6270. We would need authorization as staff from the board to publish a notice of its intent to adopt the ordinance. And if you do adopt Resolution 3470, which we have scheduled for May 3rd, that's a little bit later on my bullets there, authorizing the district to publish this notice, amendment number 7 to the existing master lease, and then the amendment to the option agreement for the 50-year lease, which would go in a newspaper of general circulation. The board would then consider that ordinance on May 3rd, and if approved, those amendments would become effective immediately. And I think that is what I have on the slides. It is, so we can back up. And, Mr. Chairman, that completes our presentation.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Let me ask for public comments. Lenora, did you want to add anything tonight to that?
Yeah, I just would like to say thank you. I would just like to say thank you to Andy and his team, Brian, Todd. We really appreciate the effort. We know this was a lot of time involved in getting this done unexpectedly. There were a lot of considerations around the Water Pier project and how that might impact us. And the biggest one is the unknown. You know, they have a timeline, but you never really know whether that timeline is going to pan out or not. So we really appreciate the effort. We really appreciate the consideration, and we're excited to keep things moving along.
I agree with everything Manora
said. Sorry, smart man.
If I could, Mike, I just have one question. So, I mean, to me, the only question I have really is, what does adequate mean in terms of demonstrating adequate financing is available? So, can you give me a little?
I'm going to let the lawyer answer that one.
Well, they would demonstrate availability of cash reserves to fund it, or the availability of an investor. One of the amendments we did was to change the conditions under which they could bring in outside investors. So all that needs to pan out as the plans proceed. But we will expect some assurances at that juncture before they take down the new lease, before they exercise the option.
So it's not that they have to have the money in hand. I will say, on paper, we have to see that the money's available.
Right.
Is that
to some degree, it's similar to what we do with our leases in the village.
Okay.
They're just dealing with smaller numbers. And let me just interject real quick. Pablo de Leon is my associate who helped me on this, and he should get some credit. He bore the lion's share of the work on this.
Thank you.
Other questions, commissioners? Brian, can you help me? I want to make sure I understand, well, two things. The action tonight is to adopt the resolution 3470. That allows us to do the advertisement, right? To
correct.
Publish the notice.
Correct.
And assuming we publish the notice and we'll come back on May 3rd, and on May 3rd, we do what?
So on May 3rd, that's when you would be asked to take the action to approve the amendments to the existing lease and to the option for the 50-year lease. So that's when you would actually take action on those amendments. Tonight, all you're taking action on is the authorization to publish that the board is potentially going to take such an action on May 3rd. And if right. Jessica wants to clarify, she can as well.
It's actually adopting ordinance number 57, authorizing the general manager to execute amendment number 7 and the amendment to the assignment and the option. Well, I don't know about that part, but amendment number 7.
But the action tonight is basically to help us fulfill our public notice obligations for the hearing we will have on the 3rd.
That is
consider
correct.
And potentially not.
Correct.
Yes.
Well said. That's good. Okay. And then, Tony?
Just a clarification. So in publishing that, in turn, lets the public provide input to the May, to the next meeting. They were notified. And if they have any questions, issues, or clarifications, they are to bring it to at the next meeting.
They could also provide information to the clerk between now and that meeting, and that could be brought forward as part of our report. These documents are also contained within the board report tonight, so they already are public. But this is the formality and the process in which we engage in. But, yes, they would have that opportunity to come back and comment.
I just want to clarify that the 50-year lease, it's a 30-year lease with a 20-year option, right?
Yeah, nothing is changing with respect to the lease term as it relates to that. We're just giving you a nuance in that lease that the entire term is for up to 50 years. It starts with 30, and there's a 20-year option.
And when would that 50-year start again?
The 50-year start would be based on those revised criteria, right? So you first saw the 5 criteria and all the steps that were needed. That would be revised based on the proposed amendment language to be the new items that we identified. At that point, the directors could then put a letter to me saying, we have met the criteria as outlined in the option as amended, and we are seeking to request that the district allow us to exercise the option. So back to Andy's discussion, they would provide information that relates to the financial capacity in order to complete the project. They will have gotten the CEQA will have been completed, which, again, our intent, the publication is that that'll be back here by June. What's the meeting date? 7? June
yes.
7th? June 7th is the meeting date for both the CEQA consideration, and it's our intent to bring the project approval back for that date as well. They would then take those approvals from the district. They would prepare a complete package, which they are probably already working on now. They would take that to the city. There would be the request from the city to deem that application complete. They would give information about the ability to finance the project, as you point out, Chris, on paper. Those are basically the conditions.
And the five-year option that we see here on this slide, that's the time frame for a director to meet all of those requirements to qualify for
correct.
A 50-year lease.
Correct. I think it contained a one-year extension if it was needed, as I recall. Mm-hmm. But basically, the option period is within 5 years.
So 2023 yeah. to 2028, work on meeting all those requirements. They get met.
Actually go backwards in time right. because the right. option was 2020.
Yeah.
So the period of time is 2025 fall, and then there are some provisions for an extension if needed. So the time period's a little bit different. You got to go back to 2020,
okay.
go through 2025, and then, again, if necessary, one-year option. I'm sure from their perspective, they don't want to be out there in 2025 still taking down the 50-year lease. I'm sure their goal would be to take down the lease much sooner than that.
Okay, that helps.
And when we get to that point, when they come back and request to exercise the option, that again comes before the commission.
That will come to
do
the board.
Do we again adopt a similar ordinance and post it and do that?
No, I do not believe so.
Okay.
No ordinance will be required because you're doing it in May.
Well, no, in May we're not approving, we're not granting the option in May.
No, you're.
So when they come back and meet the targets and come with a request to exercise the option, does that come to the board to approve the option?
Yes.
Okay. To exercise the option comes back to the board.
Okay.
I do not believe that triggers a publication requirement
okay.
because
so,
the 50-year lease has already been published.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah, but yes, that comes the action of the exercising the option comes back to the board.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So before the board takes any action tonight, do we have any public comments online? We took public comments here. Anything online?
There are no public speakers.
No public comments online. Commissioners, any Further discussion or any actions?
I would move the recommended action that we approve Resolution 3470.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second to approve Resolution 3470. This will be a roll call vote, right?
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Chair Blumenberg?
Yes.
Vote carries 4-0.
All right. Thank you. Congratulations. You've got a lot of work to do. But the vision is great, and I look forward to that. All right. We're going to move on to our third standard agenda item, which is adoption of another resolution, 3471, approving the updates to the board protocols and policy manual. Right.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to ask our clerk to give a brief presentation on this item and take feedback from the commission and the public.
Chair, commissioners, I have outlined the changes that I have brought forward in your policies and procedures manual. What kicked this off was the changes to our goals, to guiding principles and our five-year objectives. So what I decided to do was to combine this section like we did in the public and civic engagement plan and make it more generic, since these are always, not always, but they can change. I also added a social media and cell phone usage section. These are actually recommended at a training I took at my CSDA clerks conference last November, and I thought that was a good recommendation. The next one is I removed references to policy resolutions, specifically for the travel reimbursement request policy, as I will be bringing that back to the commission for revision. So just to lessen us having to come back and continually change the policy to change the resolution number, I just made that generic as well. I updated website references as I've changed some of where the policies are located on our website. I also updated the title of chairman to chair to make it a little more DEI friendly. We also added a sentence to the end of the canceled meetings section. Sometimes there's a need to cancel meetings that we don't have the time to bring it forward to the commission as an action item for approval. So I added a sentence that the general manager, in talking with the chair and vice chair, can have the authority to cancel a meeting due to lack of items or a lack of a quorum. And then the last item was just I cleaned up the order of business to include legal counsel report under the staff and general manager report, which we did a while ago. And that is the end of my summary. And also Commissioner Stevens has brought forth some proposed changes to the social media section language that I will pass on to him.
Yeah, thanks, Jessica. We printed these out and put them on your desk, and I don't know, do we need to read this for the record, or what do you think, Jessica? I did
characterize the change.
I wanted to include it on the slide, but it wasn't cooperating.
Okay. So. Well, yeah, it's kind of hard because there's some strikeout. It does not change the substance of the language in any way. I thought that that first paragraph, it started, social media provides unintended. I thought it was awkwardly worded. It took me several readings of it to kind of understand what it was saying. And so these are just language changes that I hope makes it clear and easier to understand. I read it, certainly no substantive changes to the document in any way. And thanks to Todd for making a few other little corrections in there too. So hopefully they look okay to the rest of you. Is there any public comment on that?
I do not have any public speakers via Zoom.
And we have no public comments in the room. Commissioners, other thoughts on this? on the amendment from Commissioner Stevens.
As he said, it's not, you know, there's not really any substantive changes. I think it does make it a little bit clearer. I think. I'm joking, but thanks. So, Chris, thank you for grabbing the bull by the horns and trying to do that. I did want to say social media and all those new, a lot of this stuff changes quickly. I mean, being part of the Special Districts Association gives us opportunities, and certainly through our legal, to make sure we're staying on top of this. So thank you, Jessica, for bringing it forward. And I don't believe there's any mention. There's no public comment.
I had... Tony, you have any questions?
Excuse me.
No, I think it cleared, especially the unintended there. I had to read it like three times, the first time, to say, wait a minute, what was that? But I think this added clarity to it.
I noted that, looking for section 3.7, where is this now? I think I'm still stuck in the lease documents here. 274, sorry. Yeah, so 3.7 talks about social media and I had a question about TikTok, and now I'm trying to remember why I even asked that. Maybe because I work for the Department of Defense, and there's quite a focus on that.
So you want to add a no TikTok?
That's what I guess that's what I was wondering, but I don't think
I don't,
we need to be
reference
specific.
Any particular platform.
No, it's not mentioned, but
we say we participate in Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and other social media platforms. So that was my question. We don't use TikTok, right?
I think. I
do we
know,
use
Jennifer
TikTok?
Went, but I think we do.
It's an appropriate time for her to step out, isn't it?
Okay. John Higgins says we don't.
Okay.
Not by policy of any specific policy.
Well, do you want to limit it? I don't use any of this stuff, so it doesn't matter.
I honestly, I don't see a need to call that out. I mean, it just says this is what we participate in now. I don't have enough, honestly, to prohibit it. So, no, I don't want to do that.
I'm quickly looking at our public and civic engagement plan that's on our website.
That's true. Okay. Yeah, you're correct, Jessica. We do reference probably the same social media platforms that are referenced there are probably referenced here.
Yes, the social media is Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And then we do e-newsletters and blogs and then short video compilations.
So it was not, TikTok was not on that list?
No.
And that sounds like a good thing. So I don't think we need to add it. I would just not encourage. Maybe another double negative there. All right. The other question I have is on section 1.4, the guiding principles, and I think this is one of your major changes, is let's switch the terminology. In 1.4, we say that we adopted the five-year objectives April 6, 2022. But we don't establish a periodicity to go back and look at those five-year objectives. Is there an intent to do that?
We did within the five-year objectives.
Right.
Yeah, I think we did it within two years of the 5 years.
Wait, within the five-year plan, in 2024, we are holding another community outreach meeting. I think it has been clear that the board has directed me to make recommendations throughout the five-year period where we think something should necessarily change. And, of course, that would be at the board's discretion.
Thoughts on embedding a guide in here to say five-year objectives should nominally be updated every other year?
My recollection is we had some language in that document itself that
in the five-year
in the five-year objective said that these would be revisited.
We do specifically indicate that every other year we'll hold a community outreach meeting.
So your thoughts is that that's getting the end point that I'm advocating for, so that's probably good enough.
Although you raised a really good point, and I like what you've done, Jessica, where you're just referencing them posted somewhere else, so we don't have to update them. But by putting in the actual adoption date in here, I think you have made it so you will have to go back in there when we re-adopt them. So I would just suggest that you
strike.
If you strike the date, just say that the board, and here's your opportunity, the board adopts the guidelines on a periodic basis and tries to, you know, every 2 years or whatever, and rather than specify a date. And they can be found at, put it in that fashion. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
I like that idea.
It was yours.
All right, commissioners, what do we want to do with this?
I'll move the item with recommended changes.
So I think we are, do we have a second to that?
I'll second it.
So we have a motion and a second to adopt the resolution 3471 with two changes. I think a change to the social media page as provided by Commissioner Stevens and a change to section 1.4 to remove the date and include a every other year update.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All in favor of, this is a resolution, so we're going to do a roll call. Yep, thank you.
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Chair Blumenberg?
Yes.
Bill carries 4-0.
All right, we will move on to our fourth and final standard agenda item, adoption of another resolution, 3472, financial statements and checks for October 2022 through December 2022.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a glorious night. We've got another item for her tonight, quarterly financials. Again, this is for the period of October through December of 2022. And Gloria will give a brief presentation and take any comments, suggestions you may have. Thank you.
Good evening, commissioners. As Brian said, you have the financial statements for the representative second quarter of fiscal year, October through December 2022. Just real briefly, some of the numbers are terrible. Not the numbers are terrible.
Talking about numbers. That's right. We
knew what you meant.
Issues at home, so.
Well, okay. The quarter end of the year, the year-to-date number for the positive change in net position of $1.8 million. This is 37% more than the change in net position for the same period last year, which is $1.3 million. And then another item to note is operating income. Is $5.58 million, and that's up 10% higher than last year. The operating expenses are $4.24 million, and they are 9% higher than the same period last year. So we are seeing things progress. That's my report. I didn't want to go into a whole bunch of numbers, just some basics.
Well, thank you, Gloria, for the brief summary.
I might add, just to add 20 or 30 seconds onto this, that, you know, the attachments that are included, you know, give a wide variety of information relative to that quarterly's report. So although Gloria was brief, she does a lot of work in preparing these reports that include statements of income expenses, the accounts payable, check registers, credit card charges, quarterly treasurer's report, and so on. So don't let the brevity fool you in terms of the amount of information that's contained in the report or the work that went into it.
We do try to be as transparent as possible.
The supplementary notes are terrific. I mean, it's very thorough, very complete. Appreciate it every time, Gloria. Thanks.
Thank you.
Do we have any public comments on this resolution?
There are no public speakers.
Okay. Commissioners, any further thoughts, questions?
Seeing any, I'll move approval.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution 3472, which approves the financial statements and checks from October through December 2022. So another roll call vote. Jessica?
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Chair Blumenberg?
Yes.
Vote carries 4-0.
And with that, we've completed our agenda for the evening. I appreciate staff's presence. Appreciate Tom Lenore being with us tonight. Thank you very much. Our next get-together is
May 3rd.
May 3rd. So we'll see everybody then. Thank you very much.
Recording stopped.